Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at nashvillepublicradio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's Game with Words. This week from one of our favorite spots in all the world, Port Townsend, Washington.
It's so great to sit there in this beautiful setting, looking out over hippies, and in the background, the nuclear subs. You don't get that view anyplace else in America.
Today, a community says you, featuring the delightful denizens of the Evergreen State.
Well, my husband spends a lot of time in the trees, and I've never heard him mention
that. You might want to explain that.
Yeah. So come for an idol with wit and words, played in this unique setting by people of gentle heart and mind.
And it's obvious to me that no matter where World War III breaks out, it'll get here last.
Says You invades Port Townsend next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The lead prosecutor in George Zimmerman's second-degree murder trial says he's disappointed with his acquittal. From member station WMFE, Matthew Petty reports the jury of six women returned the not guilty verdict in Sanford last night after deliberating for more than 16 hours.
The jury also found Zimmerman not guilty of the lesser charge of manslaughter for shooting unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin as he walked in a gated community in Sanford last year. At a press conference after the verdict, Assistant State Attorney Bernie DeLaRionda said while he respects the jury's verdict, he thought Zimmerman was guilty.
It boils down to is you got a 17-year-old kid who is minding his own business, wearing a hoodie, and gets accosted, gets followed by an individual who wants to be a cop.
DeLaRionda said in the 80-some murder cases he's tried, this is only the second case he's lost. Defense attorney Don West described George Zimmerman's prosecution as disgraceful. West said he was thrilled that the jury, quote, kept this tragedy from becoming a travesty. For NPR News, I'm Matthew Petty in Orlando.
Zimmerman himself showed little reaction when the verdict was read. Robert Zimmerman said his brother will need some time to process the acquittal.
He is overwhelmed. I think that it is now it's time for him to readjust to that concept of being a free man in every sense of the word.
He was interviewed on NPR. Texas teenager Justin Carter, jailed for making an offensive comment on Facebook, is now free after an anonymous donor posted a $500,000 bail. NPR's Elise Hugh reports.
Police arrested Carter in February after he wrote on Facebook that he would, quote, shoot up a school full of kindergartners. His family said he was joking and followed that message with JK for just kidding. But a grand jury indicted Carter on a felony terroristic threat charge. A judge set bail at $500,000. That high amount kept Carter behind bars for the last 5 months. Carter's attorney says the anonymous donor was sympathetic to the teen and wired the money Wednesday evening. The 19-year-old was released from the Comal County, Texas jail. His trial date is not yet set, but if convicted, Carter faces up to 10 years in jail. Elise Hugh, NPR News.
Some residents of a mountain community in southern Nevada are being allowed to return home today. Many have been out since the 4th of July because of a wildfire. Fire Information Officer Larry Helmick says the blaze is now about 60% contained.
We've just about hit every kind of situation here, from flash flooding to tremendously hot weather and all kinds of rough terrain. And it's taken us a while, but I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel.
The blaze was sparked by lightning on July 1st. It's grown to 44 square miles. The smoke can be seen in Las Vegas, about 25 miles away. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Southeast China is trying to recover from a typhoon it struck yesterday, forcing hundreds of thousands of people from their homes. Earlier, it swept across Taiwan, interrupting power for 500,000 homes. At least two people are dead. The bodies of five more people who died in last weekend's train disaster in Quebec have been recovered. Dan Karpinchuk reports that brings the total to 33 confirmed dead and 17 missing.
Emergency crews continue to search what's being called the Red Zone, the area hit hardest by the disaster, for those still missing. All 50 victims were honored this weekend with a moment of silence. Then the bells of St. Agnes Church rang out 50 times, once for each body that's been recovered and for every person missing and presumed dead. Vigils were also held in Lac-Mégantic, Montreal, and other communities across Quebec. The small community of Lac-Mégantic was rocked a week ago when a driverless train with 70 cars carrying crude oil derailed and some tankers exploded, destroying most of the downtown. Much of the focus has now shifted to accountability, which will mean a complex investigation that could take months and new possible measures to improve rail safety. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
An Australian woman was gored by a bull during today's running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. Four other runners suffered cuts and bruises. Today was the final day of the nine-day festival, which dates back to at least the 16th century. It was made famous by Ernest Hemingway in his novel The Sun Also Rises. Every morning, thrill-seekers run alongside the fighting bulls through the narrow cobbled streets of the city to the bull ring where the nightly bullfights are held. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Subaru, sponsor of NPR's Backseat Book Club. Learn more about this month's book selection at npr.org/backseat.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Port Townsend, Washington comes from the Clemente Course for the Humanities, providing college-level education to people in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.org. And the Port Townsend Film Festival, a September celebration of cinema and independent media. Information at ptfilmfest.org.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From historic Port Townsend, Washington, on the Strait of Juan de Fuca, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. We both have a lot in common. We've been authors, we've been teachers, and we both escaped from law school. Mr. Michael Schilling.
Yay! Thank you.
He's done magic. He's done stand-up. He did a one-man show called Delusions of Grandeur. So he ought to feel right at home with us, Mr. Joey Pippia. And she's the master of the team, the captain of their collective fates, Says You's own invincible Invicta, Miss Garland Waller. Captain, what are your chances tonight?
Good.
That was
great.
Optimistic.
Powerful. Amazing.
To my left, team two. She's a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, off-the-grid kind of gal. The Clemente Course's own Leela Hilton. you have relatives in the crowd. That's good. She played with us the last time we came to Port Townsend, but we're giving her another chance anyway. Miss Patty Miles.
Thank you.
And he's the leader of the pack, the king of the road, Says You's most major domo, Mr. Barry Nolan. What do you think, Captain? Is this your night?
I've always followed the strategy, have smarter people than you on your team, so I feel good tonight.
There you go. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. We find ourselves today on the Strait of Juan de Fuca, a circumstance we herein commemorate with a round titled Desperate Straits. We fear you'll become quite desperate unless you can tell us the location and significance of the following interstitial waterways. Patty, where might we find the Bosporus?
team.
Good strategy, Patty.
Thank you.
The Bosphorus is where the two land masses of Europe and Asia kind of are separated by the narrow straits of...
Bosphorus.
And it leads into Istanbul.
That is exactly right. And your daughter spent some time
there? My daughter was teaching English as a second language in Istanbul and just came back because they were using English in ways that made her alarmed.
But it was worth 10 points. Very good.
Yeah, okay, we can do it.
Let's do this.
And Lainey, we are very happy to have you back home.
Yes.
Try this one, Michael. Where might one find the Strait of Hormuz?
Funny you should mention Hormuz. Oh. No, I'm kidding. The southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, Qatar, maybe there's a
you
little...
You know what you're talking
you
about?
You know what?
You're just making it up, because
no,
that's
I'm,
really
no,
good.
He's,
that's how you play this game.
Well done.
And not only is that how you play the game, he's close enough.
Absolutely.
It isn't... It isn't Qatar, actually. It connects the Persian Gulf, of course, with the rest of the world, with the Indian Ocean, and it's bordered by Oman and Iran, and it is the trade route for 35% of the world's oil, and therefore relatively unimportant. But that's 10 points. Very good for that. Barry, try this one, the Malacca Strait.
The Malacca Straits go between the Moluccan Islands and India?
No, not really. Not quite close enough. Try.
Malacca is in between the Moluccan Islands, right?
I don't think there are Moluccan Islands. No, I have to draw the line here.
Where do Moluccans come from?
Well, that's
Moluccan, the Moluccan Straits.
Micronesia or
Micronesia?
Yes,
he's guessing.
Well, yeah, you're getting there. You're certainly getting there.
But
it's not Micronesia.
Micronesia.
I'm sorry.
Lower Micronesia.
No, no.
Inner Malacca.
Inner Micronesia. Yes. No.
That's just a state of
Moluccan.
Mind.
This is in the Pacific region.
It is. Can you imagine what its real significance is? I mean, the Strait of Hormuz is fairly significant for...
So this is where 35% of the world's vinegar transits through.
I can't tell you how close he is. I cannot tell you.
Is it rice?
No, it's most of the world's goods, period. But does anyone on the other side have any idea where... can you close in on this a little bit?
Indonesia?
It is Indonesia. Anyone in the audience, can you get as close? How close can you get? Singapore is the way to go, and Sumatra. It is situated between Malaysia, the Malaysia Peninsula that comes down, and Sumatra. And it's that slim waterway that goes through with Singapore at its eastern terminus. It is the most direct passageway from the Indian Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and therefore, approximately a quarter of the world's total shipping passes through that strait. So that's a pretty important little waterway.
And pirates.
And yes, they have had their difficulties with pirates. That's true. How many points do I give them for Malacca? 15.
Thank you, Mom.
As many as they want.
No. How many points do I give them for Malacca? What do you figure? Five? Two. Well,
I think it's a fiver.
I think it's a fiver. Get 5 points for Malacca.
You're a generous people.
That's a generous people.
I know who you are.
All right. And try this one, Garland. The Strait of Magellan.
Oh, I'm supposed to know that.
Yes, you're supposed to know that.
Oh, that's like high school. Hello, fellas.
I want to say South America.
Let's say South America.
Well, that would be the right thing to say.
I think I'm feeling pretty Tierra del Fuego-ish about this one.
Is it near? You are exactly right. It runs through Tierra del Fuego. Yes, but can you tell me what is the significance? Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to give you the 10 points first of all.
Is it true that you, the significance is that you go through there so you don't go around Cape Horn and die, right?
Well, actually, that's what, yes, that's right. You try to do that because going around the Horn is, you know, not proven to be a successful enterprise. But once the Panama Canal was dug, the Straits of Magellan became, of course, much less significant. But that used to be the passageway you would take if you were trying to round the Horn at the bottom of South America. Okay, should I give her the hard one or the miserable one? The miserable?
Yeah.
All right, let's try this one. Look at Leela. This is a hard one, Leela, but give it a shot. The Strait of Belle Isle, B-E-L-L-E-I-S-L-E, the Strait of Belle Isle.
I think it's in the Caribbean.
It is not, actually.
Oh, okay. Belle Isle.
I think it's a golf resort.
It might be, for all I know.
The
Strait of Belle Isle. This is a tough one. I'll give you a hint if you need it.
Belle Isle. So this would be someplace that used to be a French possession.
Yes, it would have a French background.
And it would be in the Pacific.
I don't think you could be more wrong. If you
so, it's in Arizona. As I said, it's a French possession. Let's see,
North
continents
America?
Left. Oh, this is in America.
Well, North
America. North America. So this is Canada-like. So.
Quebecois?
Take it, ladies. We got to the right country.
Are we near Quebec?
You know something? We're very near Quebec, yes.
It's the St. Lawrence Seaway.
You know what? They got they staggered there. That's exactly right. It was a staggering experience. What do you think? 7 points?
But eight? Teamwork. We worked so well together.
8 points. 8 points for that. No. Okay, sir. I'll keep that in mind when. It is between Newfoundland and the Canadian mainland. It is the northernmost terminus for the Gulf of St. Lawrence and the beginning of the St. Lawrence Seaway, the major passageway through to the Great Lakes. So that's where the Strait of Belle Isle is. And, Joey, sorry to throw this one at you, but think about this and give it a shot.
Okay.
Where might we find this interstitial waterway? Bab El Mandeb. B-A-B.
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 Absolutely.
Oh, that
hyphen
solves it.
E-L hyphen M-A-N-D-E-B. Bab El Mandeb.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
I'm going to go with India somewhere.
Not quite. No, it is not. Well, no, it is not India.
Not quite. Not.
Well, you know how like things are close to one another? Not quite.
Not quite.
Okay, team?
I started with a hard one.
I thought it was some little stream in the middle of a big pool in L.A.
Yes, and it might be, but it isn't.
They're very healing waters, the Bab El Mandeb in L.A.
The waters of Bab El Mandeb.
Yes.
Bab El Mandeb. You'll like knowing the answer to this once you hear it.
Is it a strait that separates Sri Lanka from another part of Sri Lanka?
You know, I almost used that one, too. No, it's not that. I almost used the strait that ran between Sri Lanka and India, but I didn't use that. That was a great guess. You'll get points for the guess. Oh, we?
I'll say it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Great guess.
Give it one more shot, and I'm going to ask anybody
not
on the other
Sri Lanka.
Side. You probably won't forget
quite.
This.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a minute. Yeah. Is it the waterway? Well, that would be. It wouldn't be a strait, but the waterway between Madagascar and India?
What a great guess. It is not. That's, but you're in,
Madagascar
you're,
is near India.
You're really,
right?
You're really close to where it actually is. Yeah, I will go to the audience in a second. Does anybody on the other side want to take a shot at this?
Is that the one in Kuwait?
No, not really. Anyone in the audience want to take a shot? Yeah, it is at the bottom of the Arabian Peninsula. If you go through the Suez Canal, you have to eventually exit through Bab El Mandeb. It is at the bottom of the Red Sea. It connects the Red Sea with the Gulf of Aden and consequently the Indian Ocean. And most of all the Suez Canal traffic has to pass through here, either coming or going. So Bob El Mandeb is now part of your understanding.
Yes.
And thank you for playing that round of Desperate Straits.
Oh, gosh.
Give them, give this side 7 points, I think, for the guesses
all right.
that got them. Well, they got all the way to Madagascar, yeah. so that's pretty doggone close. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from Port Townsend's own The Blue Crows. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Barry, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Garland's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Garland if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Barry, if she can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word smalt. S-M-A-L-T. Smalt. Gentlemen? Forward to a new season of Says You. We hope this is the year you'll be able to attend the live performance of the show. Tickets, information, and details for tapings in Boston, San Francisco, and points in between will be posted later this month on the website at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where a trip to the Join the Fun link will show you how to join the fun. And it's there you can also contribute a question to the show, potentially carving your name into the Says You Wall of Fame. You can download a show you've missed, find a gift for friends, or simply fume and vent on the Daily Dispatch. All of this is available to you at saysyou.net. Says You returns after this from home.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper. This week, it's a pie crust from the masters, Thomas Keller and his pastry guru, Sebastian Rouxel. We have a summer reading list from one of the great food writers in the country, and who knew? Mexican tacos from the Middle East? That's The Splendid Table from APM.
Tune in for The Splendid Table every Sunday at noon.
Kerouac and Ginsberg may have passed on, but beat scholar Simon Warner says rock and roll is still on the road.
Indie kids get in vans, they travel across the states, they play gigs, and I think the Kerouacian spirit is alive and well still in those gestures.
We talk about the intersection of rock and beat poetry this week on Sound Opinions.
Tune in for Sound Opinions Friday nights at 10 and Sunday nights at 7.
You haven't seen them for years. You've grown, you've changed, you're a different person now, though, right? Right? Then how come they still know you better than anyone else? On the next Snap Judgment, from PRX and NPR, Reunion. Storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Tune in for Snap Judgment every Sunday night at 9 and Thursday night at 11.
That is the Blue Crows. Would you please help me thank Mr. John Morton, Mr. Fred Nussbaum, and Mr. George Resendez. Thank you very much, guys. Would you take a moment and help me thank our scorekeepers? That's the lovely Hannah Bales and the lovely Rio Story. Thank you very much, ladies, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word smalt. We will go first. I've been waiting for this one. We will go first to Miss Patty Miles.
A smalt is Secret Service slang
for an argument between POTUS and the First Lady that is not a threat to national security.
The President and the First Lady get into it. The Secret Service put up their hands and go, just a smalt. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. Or it could be something else. Barry, what say you?
I thought smalt was the slang for, that's the question for, is it beer? But.
No, feel free to boo, really.
Actually, it's not far removed from that. Smalt is to concentrate flavor by boiling. In Steve Martin's routine, he used to talk about that process because there were lines like, these brownies were especially good after I got smalt. Remember? Nobody remembers?
Who's Steve Martin?
You're too young.
Could be concentrated flavor by boiling. It could be that, or it could be a third alternative. What do you say, Leela?
Well, I thought it was a really old smelt, but that seemed too obvious. But actually, it's a deep blue powder that's used for glass blowing. It contains, I think, cobalt.
A deep blue powder used for glass blowing.
Yep.
With cobalt in it.
Yeah.
So it could be a deep blue powder used in glass making. It could be to concentrate flavor by boiling. Or it could be Secret Service slang for an argument between the first couple. It is one of those three, and the choice, Garland, is yours.
Well, I'm certainly going to... So here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. That Barry does all the cooking, or most of it, and he's this really great cook. But I don't know that he'd know anything about boiling. You know, with
it doesn't
flavor.
Come up much.
It doesn't come up much. He's never said, just, you know.
One of the reasons I do all the cooking is she thinks boiling's hard.
He got so hungry. So what are your thoughts, fellow teammates?
I'm thinking the deep blue powder.
Deep blue powder.
Yeah.
What do you think, Michael?
I think that smalt, I think that the flavor by boiling, that's too easy because take the S out of smalt and it's malt. So that was, come on. You can do better than that, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
We can take it.
Yeah. I follow your logic, but I'm going with it.
I like number one a lot because it's so crazy, it just might work.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble
and
now.
The deep blue powder has a nice poetry to it. Like, yeah. We need more smalt in it, man, or whatever. You know? But that also seems almost too poetic for this show.
It is.
And I don't know what I mean by that at all.
But a smalt.
So if it was me, I would go with number one. Just
you
like
would
all
go with,
in, man.
You would, okay, you would go all
in. All
my
chips.
Okay, and what would you do?
What I think is that the deep blue powder is, and so she also sort of put out that that decoy thing that she said, where she said, oh, I was gonna go with this other thing, but I'm going with this one instead. And so I think that was sort of like a bit of a little misdirection decoy.
Okay.
But that's just me.
All
thinking.
Right, well, we got a decoy. We've got a cook.
What we
okay,
don't have
I'm
is
an
answer.
I'm going to go with smalt, because why not, right?
Well, you're going to go with what?
Smalt.
Well, smalt is the word.
That's the word.
I'm going to go with that. Richard?
She's going with smalt, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. It's hard for Barry, but I have to live with it, too. So, Patty. We're going to go with Patty.
Okay.
You're going to go with Patty. Okay, you're going to go. So you're going to say it's a Secret Service argument between the president and his wife. That's what they think it is, Patty?
That is not a threat to national security.
That is not a threat to national security. Is that, in fact, what a smalt is?
No.
It is not. That was a bluff. All right, audience, what do you think?
Harry's got...
How many say the cobalt powder? How many say concentrate flavor by boiling? I think the cobalt powder has carried the day. Leela, that was your definition. Is that, in fact, what smalt is?
A deep blue pigment containing powder glass containing oxalt of cobalt.
That's exactly what it is. 10 points for the audience.
No!
Yes, good luck.
And 10 points for Barry's team.
Well, you know, go big or go home.
That's right.
Let's go on to round three. We continue this week's tribute to Juan de Fuca, a name I just can't say enough. It's a tribute to Juan de Fuca with a return round of Explore This. The following exploratory names may be familiar to you. For 10 points, please tell me what you can of the exploits and contributions of Patty Amerigo Vespucci.
Team?
We are living in the country that was named after this explorer.
That is true. You know actually how that came about?
They had a contest.
Yes. It's actually the first person feminine form of his name, because countries are female, so that was America as opposed to Amerigo Vespucci. Okay. Most people know that he was an explorer that came to the New World, but do you know why? Why would we have given the New World his name?
Well, maybe he found it by mistake the first time, but on purpose the second time?
You know, you're actually getting there. Was
he a navigator?
He was a navigator, primarily an explorer, and he really explored South America more than North America, the Amazon and the Orinoco and all that.
Did he produce a map?
He did.
He paid somebody.
Boy, do I want to give you points for that, but it's not right. Any thoughts?
He's related to someone who had an enormous amount of money.
That's odd. Boy, I want to give you points for that. In fact, I'm going to give you guys 5 points for the struggle and come over here. Anyone want to have any idea?
Didn't he name it himself?
He did not, actually. The reason he was given the name is he was the first to determine that the new lands that he had discovered weren't China.
Oh.
That they were, in fact, new lands, not as previously theorized, and so the brand new land was given his name.
That's a pretty big prize for somebody that discovered something is not China.
Right.
Because there's a lot that fits that bill.
Yeah. Well, I guess he was just in the right place at the right time. Try this one, Michael. What might be the? What can you tell me about the contributions and career of Vitus Bering? B-E-R-I-N-G.
Well,
Vitus Bering.
Vitus Bering, I'm sure, I think, is the namesake for the Bering Strait.
He is.
So Vitus,
which of course is.
I think, which of course is right. You know, that really nasty bit of water
where
they find crabs. Up in Alaska. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think Vitus Bering, was he an explorer, but a diplomat?
In a way. Why would the diplomatic credentials have proved important to Mr. Bering?
It's the body of water between Russia and Alaska.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's very significant that that's it. What do you think might have been the diplomatic problem that existed there?
There was a dispute between who owned the land, the landmass of Alaska and the associated islands. And he claimed that did he claim it for Russia?
He didn't claim anything, but he went through actually in a very nasty time of year, his first voyage.
Because that is when there's ice out and he's looking for the Northwest Passage from the western side?
Pretty close. Pretty close. I'm going to get. First of all, this side knew who he was, knew where he was. Give them 6 points for their effort. Audience, anybody want to contribute?
Are you talking about the land bridge?
Yes, that is exactly right. From the audience, Tsar Peter the Great of Russia believed there was a continuous land bridge between Siberia and Alaska. And if that could be proved, then he would have claim to Alaska. It was Bering's job to sail through there and let Peter the Great know whether that existed or not. And in 1740, he did it first, and then in 1741, his second voyage wrecked on what is now known as Bering Island, where he and half his crew died. But he was trying to prove to Peter the Great that a land bridge did exist in that area. So it was all about land claims. Try this one, Barry. What can you tell me about John Cabot?
Did he go up the Hudson?
No, not quite. He was not there.
But north of there?
Yes.
So he discovered Newfoundland and Quebec?
He did.
And got into the Great Lakes?
Did he get he didn't go Lakes? Quite. No, he didn't go didn't down go that, that far.
But he went up the St. Lawrence.
Yes, to a point. And you know what? You are exactly right. So I'm going to give you the 10 points. He did sail all through around Newfoundland and up in that area. His name was Giovanni Cabato. He was from Genoa. And he was on the run from creditors in Genoa, where things weren't going so well. So he scoots to England and gets Henry VII to stake him to a voyage in the New World in 1497. And you know why? Because probably no one else was broke enough to try a voyage at 46 degrees north latitude. And he provided the basis for the English land claims in the New World and set the world at war for the next 200 years, pretty much. Try this one. Garland, try this one. Samuel de Champlain.
Well, there's Lake Champlain.
And that should be a big clue.
Which is upper New York, between New York and Canada.
Yes, it is.
My make? Really?
Yeah. Yes.
But we're not done yet, are
no,
we?
No, we're not done yet.
No. So what do we want to know about Sam?
He actually had one very important and long-lasting contribution.
Did he discover all the Great Lakes? Did he?
No, that was anyone in the audience want to take a shot? Quebec City. That's exactly right. From the audience, he founded Quebec City. It was the establishment of the first permanent settlement and fort at Quebec, the site in 1629 of one of the most important battles in the history of the world, and probably the reason we speak English today instead of French. So that's Samuel de Champlain. These last two are difficult, but we're going to give it a shot anyway, see how you do. Leela, Roald Amundsen. Amundsen.
One of the poles, right? One of the North or the South Pole?
Well, actually, both of them.
Okay.
And that's pretty significant because...
He was the first person to go to both poles.
That's exactly
Whoa!
Right.
Yeah.
I have to say he flew over the North Pole in a balloon, but, you know, everybody flies over the North Pole in a balloon, you know. But, yes, and by dog sled to the South Pole, he's the first guy to both poles. Given that fact, what great contribution did he make to science?
Oh, the magnetic north?
I mean, that's exactly right.
Wow.
Very good. Wow. His greatest contribution may have been the discovery that the magnetic poles of the Earth move. And that was a great advance in science. And finally, try this one. And again, this is a very difficult one, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, Joey, just to see if you can figure it out.
What does that mean?
Yeah. What can you tell me of the voyages of James Cook? James Cook.
I might be doing the Bluebeard thing here, but Papua New Guinea, am I getting somewhere with that?
Yes, you are getting very close there. It was not only New Guinea, but something else extremely significant to us, of course, is a...
Aloha.
Oops.
Can we make believe?
Well, that's that.
Taught us to say hello?
Yes, it did. It was kind of a big contribution from the audience, but...
He found Hawaii.
Hawaii?
He didn't find it. It was always there.
Right.
But yes,
he bumped into it.
Sorry for my hegemony.
Yes, he explored the regions for the next 10 years, actually. He was killed in the Hawaiian Islands, actually, on Valentine's Day, before it was Valentine's Day. But do you know, he made a tremendous contribution to the enterprise of sailing and exploration.
Does this have something to do with navigation?
No, it has something to do with medicine.
Did he discover limes and the use of citrus to combat scurvy?
Well, he didn't discover it, but he was the first to demonstrate, to conclusively demonstrate that you could fight off scurvy, and he pretty much eliminated a dread killer from exploration by getting rid of scurvy. So that was the contribution of Mr. Cook, and give them. They got to the Pacific Islands. Give them 7 points for getting to, and they got to Aloha eventually. Give this side 7 points. And very good, you guys. Thank you for doing those rounds in honor of Juan de Fuca. And let's go on to round four, which is Garland's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Barry, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word aberuncators. A-B-E-R-U-N-C-A-T-O-R-S. Aberuncators. Gentlemen? There are so many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
On the next On Being, a psychiatrist on emerging treatments for traumatic stress, including body work like yoga and eye movement therapy. As we learn more about the effects of overwhelming experiences on people and society, he says, we're also gaining insight into memory, our need for others, and how our brains take care of our bodies. I'm Krista Tippett. Please join us.
Join us for On Being, Sunday afternoons at 3 and again Sunday nights at 11.
The woman was on the ground and the bull was tossing her in the air and back on the ground.
And where were you?
I was right on the other side of the fence, but the fence was electric.
Why is it that certain people will risk their lives for a stranger?
I went ahead and just climbed through the fence.
While others won't.
My neighbors would not help me.
That question this week on Radiolab.
Join us for Radiolab every Sunday night at 8 and Wednesday night at 10.
I'm Jonathan Goldstein, and this week on Wiretap, we explore the deadly sin of sloth. And we speak to a man who is turning to the sloth for inspiration.
They're basically like the animal kingdom's version of a hammock.
So does this mean that you're going to start hanging upside down? Is that a part of this whole thing?
I tried it. It makes my hair frizzy and my food come up.
That's this week's Wiretap from PRI, Public Radio International.
Join us for Wiretap every Sunday night at 10 o'clock.
Support for Says You in Port Townsend, Washington comes from the Clemente Course for the Humanities, providing college-level education to people in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.org. And the Port Townsend Film Festival, a September celebration of cinema and independent media. Information at ptfilmfest.org. That is the Blue Crowes. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I've been told from the audience that it may be pronounced aberuncators, might be. Please write in and let us know. We will go first to Mr. Schilling.
Aberuncators, yes, are a long tool used for pruning high branches. And that is all.
Met that with a certain amount of derision, don't you think, from the audience?
A long tool used for pruning high branches.
A long tool used for pruning high branches. Well, that might be true, or it might be something else. Garland, what do you say?
Well, first of all, in the South, where I'm from, we say aberoncators. So you might want to work on that pronunciation.
Yes.
Okay. It's a mechanical device used to move animal cages on wheels. Now, I know about this because my brother used to raise pigs. He did, Barry. He did. And the neighbors didn't like it, so he would, this is totally true, so he would move the pigs around the land, and my sister-in-law used to call it squeals on wheels. But anyway, an aberoncator is a mechanical device used to move animal cages on wheels.
I'm just going right to squeals on wheels, and I'm leaving it there. Mechanical device for moving animal cages on wheels. It could be that, or it could be something else. Joey, what say you?
This word here is a plural, because there's an S on it, but an aberuncator is in singular, would be a holy, and not W-H, but H-O-L, an undergarment, which is worn by a clergy person, man or woman, to keep them warm when they go outside.
Holy undergarment.
I think so.
You know? I'm currently wearing a holy undergarment, but it's a wholly different thing. Boy, laughing at your own jokes is the worst, lowest form of anything. Holy undergarment.
Yes,
worn
sir.
Worn by clergy and blessed by fate. A holy undergarment worn by clergy, squeals on wheels, the mechanical device with the animal cages, and a long tool for pruning branches high up. It's one of those three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
Well, that's grim. Ladies, what do you think? What's your first impression?
Well, my husband spends a lot of time in the trees, and I've never heard him mention aberuncator.
You might want to explain that.
Yeah.
He's a tree climber and treehouse builder, and he gets in trouble a lot, and he ends up spending the night in the trees. And the underwear thing seems like exactly what a church would call underwear, because it sounds so unlike underwear. I mean, they wouldn't want it to sound like it was underwear, so they'd call it an aberuncator. Anyway, that's my thought.
Not going there.
I would go with the squeals on wheels.
I think abor, the up in the trees, it would be A-B-O-R. And I think they'd call it
Snurbers.
Long St. John's if it was underwear. So I think... I'll go with, I think we'll, if you'll join us, we'll vote for the squeals on wheels, because it's a great, and it's a true story about the pigs.
Garland, they are going to say that aberuncators, I don't know, it's squeals on wheels. Yes. Is that in fact what it means?
Well, I just want to give a shout out to my sister-in-law, Karen Waller, for coming up with squeals on wheels, and we fooled you.
Oh! It was a bluff. All right, audience, your turn. What do you think? How many say it's the long tool for pruning tall branches? How many say it's the holy underwear? That's not even remotely close, Joey. This audience knows it's the holy underwear. Is that in fact what it is?
Please fake a definition.
As you did. Because the definition actually reads...
A long tool for pruning high branches.
Very good, Michael. 10 points for Garland's team.
Michael.
Let's close tonight. Every stop in Port Townsend requires a visit to Fort Worden, the military training facility made famous in the film An Officer and a Gentleman, which started us thinking about films, which reminded us that it's been simply ages since we did a round of melded movies.
Oh, those are so hard.
Well, we don't have to do it if it...
That's good.
I'm going to give you plot lines from famous movies. Your job, combine the title of those films into one melded title. An example, a rebellious naval air recruit disguises himself and learns about religious intolerance is An Officer and a Gentleman's Agreement. An Officer and a Gentleman and Gentleman's Agreement. So we get where we're going with this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we
boy.
See.
Let's try this one, Patty. Two hapless stoners hook up with a beer smuggler in a muscle car while a divorced couple rekindle their relationship.
Say it again.
Two hapless stoners hook up with a beer smuggler in a muscle car while a divorced couple rekindle their relationship.
Cheech and Chong?
Up and Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
Probably right.
No. Up and Smoke is right.
Good.
Two hapless stoners.
Up and Smokey and the Bandit?
Up and Smokey and the Bandit, yeah. And the last one, while a divorced couple rekindle their relationship.
Bandit happened one night.
Divorced couple rekindle their relationship.
You know what? It's not a divorced couple, but I don't care. That's fine. I'm giving it to them anyway. Anybody know the real answer to that, the last one? Ah, it's complicated.
Oh.
Yes. Up and Smokey and the Bandit's complicated.
How quickly they turn.
Yeah.
All right, try this one, Michael. A wacky Barbara Streisand farce that pits a Bond villain against a beautiful American spy in South America. Ooh, I think Patty has it.
Well, Funny Girl.
No, that's not the farce.
No.
Wacky farce.
The Bond villain and the spy, I hope we'll give you some of it.
The Bond villain?
What's the
doctor
know?
Let me see. Patty has it.
Oh, thanks.
Well, we don't.
The hard one is The American Spy in South America. That's a 40s classic movie. But
Spy Who Came In.
Can you help them out, Patty, with the wacky Barbara Streisand farce?
What's up, Doc?
Yes.
Dr. No.
What's up,
Dr. No? And anyone know the last part of it? Notorious from the audience, yes. What's up, Dr. Notorious? Yes.
Yeah.
The three movies, What's Up, Doc, Dr. No, and Notorious. Very good. All right, try this one, Barry. Tapped out Beverly Hills youths. Utes. Yes. Tapped out Beverly Hill Utes become Navy SEALs on a secret mission to bomb Japan. Tapped out Beverly Hills youths become Navy SEALs on a secret mission to bomb Japan.
Tapped out Beverly Hills. Is that the Billionaire Boys Club?
No.
Tapped out Beverly Hills. So Bling Ring?
Oh, not that modern.
That's
no.
Not that modern.
I'd go with the second one if you can. Navy SEALs on a secret.
Navy SEALs.
Anyone over here?
For the tapped out Beverly Hills youth, less than zero?
Less than zero is exactly right. Can you go from
less
there?
Less than zero.
Zero.
Less than zero dark 30 minutes from Tokyo.
Yes.
Well, it's 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Tokyo. 30 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah,
well done.
Right.
You got major help from these guys, so I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'm going to give them 5 in violation of every law that's ever happened here, but I think that's fair. All right. Garland, we'll give you this one. Uh-oh.
Thanks.
Catherine Zeta-Jones gets involved with high-tech thieves in Europe who join the 8th Air Force to bomb Germany.
I'm thinking we're going to need a repeat of that anyway.
Okay. Catherine Zeta-Jones gets involved with high-tech thieves in Europe who join the 8th Air Force to bomb Germany.
What is that? I know Chicago's wrong, because that wasn't very high-tech.
But we're going with Chicago.
Nah, don't go there. Oh, it's quiet over there. Any thoughts from the other side?
We've got Ocean's 12 o'clock high.
That's exactly right. Very good, you guys. No points. I'm sorry. They wasn't your question, but that's exactly right.
Wow, well done.
What? I'm sorry.
I said well done.
Yeah, very well done. Try this one. It's Leela. Leela, try this one. Boy. An alcoholic on a binge has to keep a crooked exec's corpse animated.
What?
Bernie's. Say that, please say that again.
An alcoholic on a binge has to keep a crooked exec's corpse animated.
So that's the second part is weekend at Bernie's.
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So the
lost
weekend at Bernie's.
Is exactly right. 10 points. Very good.
Okay.
And Joey, try this one, see if you can close it out. A sweltering jury decides the fate of aliens on our planet.
12 angry men? Does that start it?
That's it.
12 angry men.
Yep. Say it again.
12 angry men.
No, not you.
I got it.
That was good, though. I like that. A sweltering jury decides the fate of aliens.
12 Angry Men in Black?
12 Angry Men in Black. Exactly right. 10 points.
Nice, guys. Yeah. Good.
A really nice close for you guys. A 73-point total, but unfortunately not quite enough. Well, Barry Nolan's team, 81 points. Winners this week. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Leela Hilton and all the folks at the Clemente Course here in Port Townsend for making our visit possible. Thanks always to Jeff Hansen, Arvid Hawkinson, Katie Christopoulos, and the good folks at KUOW in Seattle.
Woo!
Yes, sir. Thanks also to the good folks of Port Townsend, Rio and Stacy Sabella, Katie Levenhagen, and Chris Martin. Thank you, you guys. And also to the Port Townsend Film Festival for helping us come out here. Schur and Salkin arrange the adjectives. Antonio Oliart mans the meters. And Zach Moore is working 100-hour weeks. So long from Jefferson County, Washington, where the stated goal of the people is to reinforce and enhance the historic sense of place and community. Thanks for coming out as a community, Port Townsend, and letting us share the place. See you next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Busted.
Mm-hmm. This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.